Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, November 3, 2023, 1 John.
All right, a couple of things before we get started this evening. First of all, I'd like to remind you all of our evangelism team will be going to Child Haven tomorrow morning. And I would appreciate your prayers for them, that they would be channels of God's grace, tools in God's hands to be used by Him. Pray that God would draw by His hand of grace all of the children and all the adults that are supposed to be there and prepare their hearts, and that God might use this to His honor and glory to bring many sons into glory. Appreciate your prayers for our evangelism team tomorrow. Another thing I'd appreciate your prayers for is that Randy Frick is the head of our music ministry. And by the way, it's the best music ministry we've ever had here, ever. He's in the hospital and going through serious tests. I'd appreciate your prayers for Randy and for his wife, Dodie, as he is going through a series of tests. He has some issues. They're not exactly sure what it is. So Randy and Dodie and I, we go all the way back to Washington State University. And we were all a part of the great spiritual revival on the campus of Washington State University, one of the most unique and special spiritual revivals on a university campus ever, anywhere. And that campus was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. And Randy and Dodie and Deb and I, we have been great, great friends for a long time. And the fact that they wanted to come here and head up the music ministry here was a tremendous blessing for Upland Bible Church. And so I appreciate your prayers for Randy and for Dodie in this time. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have magnified Your word over all of Your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in the greatest chapter in the Word of God on the doctrine of virtue love. And it is in this chapter that we see the virtue love, first of all, in the very essence of God. Several times in this chapter, we have the statement, God is love. Now, there's a lot of Christians that will say, and they know, God is love, but they have no idea. They don't have a clue of how great, how magnificent, how wonderful the love of God is as His divine attribute. Yes, God is love, but God is virtue love. God is infinite virtue love. And we have that expressed here in this chapter greater than in any other place in the Word of God. In the last verse we exegeted was verse 9. 1 John 4 verse 9 says, by this, the unconditional, impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind was manifested among us, namely that God has sent His unique Son into the world for the purpose that we might live, that we might have eternal life and live the unique spiritual life by the agency of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father manifested impersonal love for all mankind by designing Operation Grace, the cross. God the Father's incarnation plan for God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, manifested His impersonal love for the whole world. God the Father sending His uniquely born Son into the world to solve the whole world's problem of sin when the world was at its worst in the status of spiritual death and total depravity, manifested His impersonal love for all. In 1 John 4 verse 9, the key word here is the verb apostello. Looks like that in the Greek, A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L, long O. Apostello. Now, apostello is a compound word. It's made up of the preposition apa, which means it's the preposition of separation, separated from, away from. And so we have from, separated from, away from, and then stello, which is to send. So God the Father's plan of salvation involved His eternal Son being sent away from, separated from heaven. The eternal Son of God, from His own free will, willingly left heaven, left glory as fulfilling the Father's incarnation plan for salvation. God the Father's plan of salvation involved His eternal Son being sent, separated from heaven, sent to earth to take on true humanity. And this was all accomplished on that great miracle of the very first Christmas, through the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. There will never, ever be a greater miracle than the miracle that was accomplished on that first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The whole world has a problem: spiritual death and total depravity. God the Father sent Apostello. He sent His eternal Son away from heaven to earth to take on true humanity. Deity can't go to the cross, and therefore He had to take on true humanity, to go to a cross, to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world, to solve the world problem of sin. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God became the uniquely born one, monogenes, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. The hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In God the Son's impersonal love for the whole world, the Lord Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross. He willingly received the imputation of the world's personal sins in His own body. He willingly received the judgment for those sins. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ propitiated and satisfied the righteous demands of God the Father, making eternal salvation possible for anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. The perfect tense of Apostello is a dramatic perfect, and the dramatic perfect is used to describe a fact in an unusually vivid and realistic way. It emphasizes the impersonal love of God the Father to the whole human race by sending His eternal Son into the world to solve the world problem of sin, Operation Grace. The active voice, God the Father, performed the action of sending His eternal Son into the world on that great miracle of the very first Christmas. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the God-breathed Scriptures. God's purpose in sending His unique Son was that we might live by the agency of Him. That's the last phrase of verse 9, by the agency of Him. And that phrase, by the agency of Him, is clearly defined in our next verse, verse 10, when it says, He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. God's unique Son had to die, His salvation work on the cross, so that we might live. And therefore, when the impersonal love of God the Father was manifested toward us, this manifestation involved two very opposite experiences. Death for God's unique Son, and life for us. the ones who believe in Jesus Christ. That God the Father would design this incarnation plan for His beloved Son, Operation Grace, the cross, so that we might have the gift of eternal life, speaks volumes about the infinite greatness of God's virtue love. The greatness of God's virtue love is further magnified when we consider that His unique Son was impeccable. He was sinless perfection while we were wretchedly sinful. The infinite impersonal love of God the Father, the author of Operation Grace, the cross, and God the Son, the unique Son, who willingly carried out Operation Grace, the cross, is magnified to the maximum, because we were spiritually dead, totally depraved, and no damn good. When you understand that, it ought to increase your love for the Father and Jesus Christ in a phenomenal way. 1 John 4:9 again, by this, the unconditional, impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind was manifested among us. Namely, that God has sent His unique Son into the world for the purpose that we might live, that we might have eternal life and live the unique spiritual life by the agency of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. This brings us to the doctrine of eternal life. The doctrine of eternal life. Point one, definition, the definition of eternal life. John 3:36 says, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. But the one who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Subpoint one, attitude toward Jesus Christ determines whether we have eternal life or not. Attitude toward Jesus Christ determines whether we have eternal life or not. Two, a person has eternal life the moment he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. A person has eternal life the moment he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Three, eternal life is imputed to the human spirit, which is created for you by God the Holy Spirit at regeneration. At the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. So eternal life is imputed to the human spirit, which is created for you by God the Holy Spirit at regeneration. Point two, there are three categories of impersonal love for the believer who dies prior to the rapture. Now the church age began at Pentecost. The church age will conclude at the rapture. There have been multitudes from Pentecost until now who have believed in Jesus Christ and died. They are not a part of the rapture generation. We may be a part of the rapture generation, we might not. Frankly, I'm not the one in charge of it. I'm not God. Frankly, I hope we all die. I hope you all die. I hope you all get to go through dying grace and all the fantastic blessings that God has for you as you go through the valley of the shadow of death. I expect all of you, as you have demonstrated your positive volition, your genuine humility, to consistently and faithfully assemble in this local church, so that you might grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when that is reality, will you not only have personal love for God the Father, but you have great personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and for you as a winner believer, as you are going through the dying phase of your life, the Prince of Peace provides for you inner peace, which is above and beyond anything you could ever imagine. Inner peace in living, inner peace in dying. A great happiness in your soul. Because of your occupation with Christ, the other side of the coin, you have a great happiness in your soul. Happiness while you're living and happiness while you go through dying. You know that Jesus Christ has your hand and he goes right with you. Not only does he lead you and guide you every day while you're living, he leads you every moment through the dying phase of your life. And that is the best. That is the absolute best. So there will be a generation that the rapture generation, and it might be ours, I don't know. I personally think that the rapture is close, but I'm not. It's signless and timeless. The only one who knows when that's going to take place is God himself. But I would rather, see, I've gone through the life and had all of the Brussels sprouts. And by the way, I don't know, you may love, and if we have Brussels sprout lovers here, why? Bless your heart, you know. In a lot of restaurants now, that seems to be, it must be cheap, because they'll say you can have all the Brussels sprouts you want. Well, or cauliflower. My mother was a great cook. She came from the Ozarks. Biscuits and gravy? Oh, mama. the greatest biscuits and gravy you will ever eat was the ones my mom made. But there were a couple things she could not make. Liver and cauliflower. Now my dad loved liver, and he demanded that we have liver about once a week. We could have had it once a year, too much for me. My mom cooked the living hell out of the liver. I could eat my shoe easier than eating the liver that she made. And I hated it. There was a bottle of ketchup on the table. I used the entire bottle of my liver. And then I get it into my mouth, chew it up, and then say, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I go to the bathroom, spit it out in the toilet, and flush it down the toilet. And then I came back. When I came back, I had two pieces of liver on my plate. My dad looked at me and said, I know what you did. You do that again, you're going to eat all the liver. I'm going to sit here. I got all night. I'm going to sit here all night till you eat the rest of the liver. You do that again. The other thing my mother couldn't make was cauliflower. She boiled the pudding out of it. It was like eating dishwater. Mushy. Now, I have to admit, Debbie, my mom was a great cook, but not with liver. Not with cauliflower. Debbie has actually made liver for me that I liked, and cauliflower which I liked. So when we get to heaven, I'm going to have Debbie show my mom how to do those things. Well, here we are. We've gone through the living phase, and we've eaten our liver and eaten our cauliflower and our Brussels sprouts. Dying grace is the dessert. I love dessert. I love chocolate. I don't want to miss out on dessert. I don't want to miss out on dying grace. I'm looking forward to that. And if I'm in the rapture generation, I don't get to have the dessert of dying grace. Like chocolate pie with whipped cream and a maraschino cherry. Or 7 or 8 maraschino cherries. That's dying grace. So, point two is, there are three categories of eternal life for the believer who dies prior to the rapture. First of all, the believer has eternal life while he's living on planet Earth in having human life and eternal life. The believer has eternal life while he's living on planet Earth in a human body, having both human life and eternal life. Secondly, the believer has eternal life after death, while living in heaven and waiting for his resurrection body. You don't get your resurrection body until the rapture. So here are all these people, Paul and everybody from Paul all the way up to now, that have died. They're waiting for the resurrection body. They won't get it until the rapture. So what about in between? They had a human body when they were living on planet Earth, then they died, and now they're in heaven waiting for their resurrection body, and they won't get that till the rapture. So what about between their death and the rapture? Well, that's point two. The believer has eternal life after death while living in heaven and waiting for his resurrection body, having both interim life and eternal life. Having both interim life and eternal life. Third, The believer has eternal life forever in a resurrection body, which he will receive at the rapture. And this is resurrection life and eternal life. This is the immortality stage of eternal life. So, again, point two, there are three categories of eternal life for the believer who dies prior to the rapture. While he's living on planet Earth, he has human life and eternal life. The believer has eternal life after death while living in heaven, waiting for his resurrection body at the rapture, having both interim life and eternal life. And the believer has eternal life forever in a resurrection body, which is resurrection life and eternal life. And this is the immortality stage of eternal life. Point three. Those believers who are in the rapture generation, they do not die physically. They have two categories of eternal life. Those believers who are in the rapture generation who do not die physically have two categories of eternal life. They have temporal life and eternal life, and they have resurrection life and eternal life. So they have only two categories. Temporal life and eternal life, resurrection life and eternal life. Each category of eternal life reveals a new aspect of God's perfect plan. Four, there is a body for each stage of eternal life. There is a body for each stage of eternal life. First of all, temporal life plus eternal life has the body of corruption, our human body, which has the sin nature. So there is a body for each stage of eternal life. First of all, temporal life plus eternal life has the body of corruption, our human body with its sin nature. Secondly, interim life plus eternal life has the interim body, which experiences no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. All of that is gone. So the interim life plus eternal life has the interim body, which experiences no more pain, tears, sorrow, sin nature, no sickness. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. And we're in 2 Corinthians 5 in our Wednesday class, and we'll be getting to this. Right now, we're at the beginning at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 on Wednesday, but we will be getting to verse 8, the Lord tarries. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, which says, we are confident, and we have great courage and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be absent from our human body and to be at home, and you might have in your translation, at home with the Lord. That phrase, with the Lord, is pros plus the accusative of kurios. Kurios, that's Lord. And pros plus the accusative. That's very important. P-R-O-S. Pros plus the accusative means face to face with. Face to face with. Now, face to face with the Lord. We would much rather be absent from our human body and face to face with the Lord. Face means we have a face and the Lord has a face. And so face to face, it's an interim body. Face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in His resurrection body. He was the first fruits. So secondly, the interim life plus eternal life has the interim body, which experiences no more pain, sorrow, tears, absent from the body, 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body, but face to face with the Lord. In this interim body, you are recognizable. This is the body you occupy while awaiting your resurrection body. The interim life and eternal life stage makes no distinction between winners and losers in the Christian life, and that provides great happiness for every believer as they await the rapture and their resurrection body. This gives the greatest of comfort to loved ones at a memorial service. Loser believers and winner believers alike have a wonderful life in heaven in their interim body while they're waiting for the rapture and their resurrection body. So, first category, temporal life plus eternal life has the body of corruption. Then secondly, interim life plus eternal life has the interim body. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8. Third, resurrection life plus eternal life has the resurrection body. Resurrection life plus eternal life has the resurrection body. So the believer who does die experiences three categories of eternal life, while the believer who does not die experiences two categories of eternal life. Point five. Eternal life is attainable only in time. Only while you are alive, living here on planet Earth. The only place it's attainable. Eternal life is attainable only in time. Let's amplify that. One, eternal life can only be received while a person lives on Earth in his human body. Eternal life can only be received while a person lives on Earth in his human body. Two, you cannot get eternal life once you die as an unbeliever. You cannot get eternal life once you die as an unbeliever. Three, eternal life begins in time. You cannot get eternal life in eternity. You have to get it now. You have to get it the moment of faith in Jesus Christ while you're living now on earth. Once you die, it's too late. Physical death. You die without placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Apart from faith alone in Christ alone, it's too late. So, three, eternal life begins in time. You cannot get eternal life in eternity. You have to get it now. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 6. In fact, if you're in 2 Corinthians 5, you ought to just look over to chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians 6 verse 2. Behold, now. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. 4. There is only one entrance into eternal life. Only one way you can receive the gift of eternal life, and that is faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. There's only one entrance into eternal life, and that is faith alone in Christ alone. And there's only one Savior, and it's not Allah, and it's not any other. There's only one Savior, Jesus Christ. And all the other religions are religions. They're satanic. They're evil to the core. There is only one Savior. There's only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. He is the only Redeemer. He is the only one who provides eternal life. So there is only one entrance into eternal life: faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So eternal life is attainable only in time. Point five. Point six. Eternal life belongs only to the believer, not to the unbeliever. Eternal life belongs only to the one who places his faith in Jesus Christ. Let's amplify point six. One, the three categories of eternal life do not apply to the unbeliever. The three categories of eternal life do not apply to the unbeliever. And again, John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. And John, who wrote the Gospel of John, I know that's a deep point, but you know that. He also is the author of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And we're in chapter 4 of 1 John. I am studying in chapter 6 right now, but we have a great passage in 1 John 5:11 to 13. We'll look at that in a moment. Well, look at 1 John 5:11 to 13 now. The same apostle that wrote John 3:36, 1 John 5:11. In fact, this is the written testimony that God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Verse 12. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. Verse 13, I have written these things to you, to the ones who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you keep on possessing eternal life. Once you have eternal life, this is a deep point, you have it eternally. And there are, I can't tell you how many idiot, stupid Christians out there who think that you can lose your salvation. You have to be the most arrogant person walking on the face of the earth to think that you could lose your salvation, that you could lose eternal life. Well, you might as well call it, some Christians could call it 5-minute life, 1-day life, 1-month life, couple of years life. God doesn't give us that. He gives us the gift of eternal life. And with that is eternal security. Eternal life means eternal security. And eternal life also includes temporal security. But these are all things coming up. A lot of great things coming up yet in 1 John. So eternal life belongs only to the believer. First of all, the three categories of eternal life do not apply to the unbeliever. Eternal life belongs only to the believer in Jesus Christ. Secondly, eternal life is a special life related to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a special life related to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, eternal life is the life possessed by each member of the Trinity. It's one of the attributes in God's perfect essence. In God's essence, He has the attribute of eternal life. So eternal life is the life possessed by each member of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal. They have the same attributes. They all have the attribute of eternal life. With the living and true God, eternal life is an infinite attribute. He, from eternity past to eternity future, eternal life. They've always had the Father, Son, the Spirit, the Godhead has always had the attribute of eternal life. No beginning, no end. However, for the believer in Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life that's given to him has a beginning. It has the beginning of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. But it has no end. It is eternal security, eternal life. Four, eternal life begins the moment we believe in Christ. Eternal life begins the moment we believe in Christ. Five, eternal life continues in our mortal bodies as we live this unique spiritual life of the church age. Eternal life continues in our mortal bodies, human bodies, as we live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Six, eternal life continues at the point of physical death and then at the rapture we have eternal life in an immortal body, our resurrection body. Eternal life continues at the point of physical death and then at the rapture we have eternal life in an immortal body, our resurrection body. Seven. Once you receive the gift of eternal life at salvation, faith in Christ, you have eternal life forever. You can never, ever lose your eternal life. Once you receive the gift of eternal life at salvation, faith in Christ, you have eternal life forever. And you can never lose your eternal life. And we're in 1 John 4:9, but that'll be amplified in 1 John 5:11-13. 8. The mortality of the unbeliever is spiritual death. The mortality of the unbeliever is spiritual death. And the immortality of the unbeliever is called the second death. The mortality of the unbeliever is spiritual death, and the immortality of the unbeliever is called the second death. Turn over to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And we've been here a few times. You ought to have this one down by now. Revelation 20. Starting at verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. This is at the end of human history. This is at the end. We're in the church age, past that. We go through the tribulation, we're past that. The thousand-year millennial kingdom, past that. After that, the end of human history. And at the end of human history, earth and sky fled from his presence. The heavens and the earth, this heavens and earth, are gone. And now, at the end of human history, this heavens and this earth, they're gone. Now we have the second resurrection, the resurrection of all unbelievers in human history. Every unbeliever in human history will come before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, and they will have their day in court. Our God is a God of absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He's infinite virtue, infinite honor, infinite character, and he is infinitely fair. And he's going to give every unbeliever his day in court. And being the omniscient God, he has all the facts on every person there at the great white throne judgment. He has everything they've ever done in their life. He has all of their human good works that they've done, that they are so proud of. But the one thing they don't have the righteousness of God that only comes one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. They don't have that. And to live with God forever, you have to have the same righteousness that God has. And that only comes one way, by faith in Christ. So earth and sky, heavens and earth, fled from his presence. And there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books, plural, were opened. And another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. Now, the book of life started out with the name of every member of the human race. The name of every member of the human race was in the book of life. But when somebody died physically without believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior, their name was blotted out of the book of life. They started out, everybody was in the book of life. But when they went through their life and died without believing in Jesus Christ, their name was blotted out of the book of life. So the book of life only has the names of those who have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And none of these people believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books, plural, were opened. And another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. The dead, all those before Jesus Christ, were judged, kata ta erga, according to their works. All that they had done, all their human good. Sin isn't going to be mentioned at the great white throne judgment. Why won't sin be mentioned? Because of Operation Grace. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Christ, and judged them in Jesus Christ once and for all. 1 John 2:2, unlimited atonement. Jesus Christ solved the sins of the world for the whole world, not just for those who believe in Christ, but he paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. So sin won't be mentioned. Sin won't be mentioned at the great white throne judgment. Instead, all their human good dead works that they were counting on to get them into heaven. That's what. So the it says, which is the book, the dead were judged according, kata ta erga, according to their human good deeds, their works, as recorded in the books, plural. The books, plural. They're not in the book of life. They never believed in Jesus Christ. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged kata ta erga according to their human good deeds and works. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, and all of them have had their names blotted out of the book of life because they died without believing in Christ, he was cast into the lake of fire. The second resurrection is the resurrection of every unbeliever in human history. Those who died without believing in Christ, they will stand before Jesus Christ. All of their good deeds will be brought out. But when it gets done, they do not have the gift of eternal life. They do not have God's imputed righteousness. To live with God forever, you have to be as good as God is. You have to have His righteousness. You have to have the life that God has, which is eternal life. So the mortality of the unbeliever is spiritual death, and the immortality of the unbeliever is called the second death, Revelation 20:11-15. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36. And by the way, John, the Apostle John, is the author of Revelation as well. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing in each one of our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.